Return of the Red Sea. You're back at the stadium.
Rise up, Red Sea.
We're on the sidelines and in the broadcast booth, covering Cardinals training camp like no one else can.
The Red Sea is rising up.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold. Doug and Wolf Talk Cards training camp now.
Masonians, this is indeed the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the Morning, broadcasting all the way from State Farm Stadium. That's right.
Hi, Wolf.
There it is, Doug Lease. We'll see you, or at least hear you on the phone. Our number one, don't worry about technical difficulties, flash the one right now.
Everyone's watching.
Put the index finger into the air. Ladies and gentlemen, our number one of the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday. Man, if you got a cowbell right now, somebody, just give me a little bit more of that cowbell, ladies and gentlemen, because right now, forget about those technical difficulties that we're experiencing. Bang that thing! Here's what you do now, Masonites. You take out your Jordache jeans and you slide those things on, man. And I mean, you cinch it up real tight. Real tight. You stand in front of that mirror and take out that neon comb and brush back that fine feathered hair, because you better hold on to your
heart. You want a piece of my heart?
It's a Cowbell Friday on the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages of the Morning experiencing technical difficulties right now. As a matter of fact, we've got Doug Lease, Doug Franz on his way down to the parking lot on his phone at some point in time. I am sure, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have two microphones that are actually working out here at State Farm Stadium. You know, if we were obviously in Foxborough, I think we'd all understand why that is, right? We've got some type of technical difficulty. Isn't that right, Bill Belichick? Oh, the signal is jammed once again, but we're going to have Doug Lease here momentarily on his phone going back to the station. We apologize to you, Basinonians, an inauspicious start for the Doug and Wolf Show on a Cowbell Friday, but it's just good that we're out here anyways. It really is. Today, of course, a practice that is very, very important. Tomorrow, practice, it's going to be open to the public as well. That's going to be really, really nice that here at State Farm Stadium, once again, we actually have people. We're going to have people here in the stadium watching these practices. The Arizona Cardinals doing an awful lot of things on the field right now, getting ready for when they actually put the pads on, which will be through this weekend into next week, Monday, as a matter of fact, put the pads on and go out and break it up. And where we begin on this, I do not know. But I know we got Minch. We got you back at the beautiful station, command and control.
What's up,
Aaron
Wolf?
Maloney, we've got you back there. How are you doing, Minch? You fired up about today?
When you said the Jordache jeans were cinched up rather tight, I couldn't help but agree more, to be honest.
Yeah, it really is,
just, of
man.
Course, I on mean, a day like today. But it is Cardinals training camp. So if I know nobody's really there right now, but if you mind setting the scene, because a lot of us haven't even seen the inside of that building in like a year plus.
Yeah, I know. It really is. You know, once again, they've got the tray, the Betty Crocker tray that I love so much. It is the football field. They just slide that thing in on the southeast end of the stadium. They just slide it right in like a cookie sheet, minus the cookies, of course. It's got the gridiron on it. And I have to tell you, for myself personally, it does make me feel so good when I look down and I see the lines. It's hard for me to describe, Mitch, the feeling that I get this time of year, especially here in Arizona, where the humidity comes up, right? Once the humidity comes up, I talk about it all the time. It comes up, it makes me think of football here in Arizona, because our air obviously is so dry here. We have like zero humidity, at least it feels that way compared to back east. And every time it comes up here in the summer, that means it's training camp time. It's time to go and play some ball.
I'll tell you one thing. I definitely felt the humidity last night when I was outside. I was visiting a friend. He's house sitting at a place in Paradise Valley. And not only could you feel the humidity, but you could feel all the nasty little bugs biting at your ankles. And this morning, I can definitely feel all the little bumps and bruises and nicks that I received from sitting out in the humidity last night. So Mitch, I agree with you on that regard.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because once again, I was talking about the lines and just looking at the lines. It has a visceral effect on me, my mentality, my emotions. When I see the lines, the gridiron, I talk about this all the time, but it used to be one of the coolest things about playing the game of football. And I thank God for this, is the fact that I was able to walk in between those lines and tap into a primal side, tap into it and play with abandon, walk in between those white lines and know that the entire paradigm has changed for you. The entire situation changes, and then you walk outside of those white lines and you love people and you respect people and you treat them better than yourself. It is one of the things I absolutely cherished the most, the fact that you could be so primal once you walked in between those white lines and then walk outside of them, of course, and be completely different. That juxtaposition right there, that effect, is one of the reasons why I used to write poetry as much as I did. Imagine that, a wedge-busting fullback who wrote poetry. Mitch, there was
poetry?
Not a lot of guys. There was not a lot of guys that were actually writing poetry that were playing fullback or wedge busting. All right.
Well, that's why you got a career in media then, right?
That's exactly. Well, media. What do you mean, media, Mitch? I'm not a member of the media. I'm just a broadcaster. Oh, you turn the microphone on and you start talking. That's what we do.
If you're broadcasting for a medium, well, you broadcast for multiple mediums, but at least in your sense, you get to broadcast about what you love.
Well,
right?
You can go ahead. You can label me any way you want to. I'm not ever going to label myself as a member of the media. No disrespect to those guys. A lot of good people, a lot of really good friends in the media, of course, and people that I respect. It's not a slant on them. It's just a way to remind myself that even as fat, even as old as I get, Mitch, it's still about being a player. I don't care. I'm going to be, who knows, I'm going to be 70. If I get to 70, I'm going to be 70. And you know what? I'm still going to consider myself to be a player. I'm going to have the player's mentality. I am for the player. I am. I'm for the player. I think like a player. I love the player. And I want to always remember that is the perspective that I love. It's the reason why when I start talking about this game that I love so much, the blood sport, when I put the headset on, Mitch, I don't feel like I'm fat and 58 anymore when I start talking about the game. And this is going back to looking at the lines that are in front of me here at State Farm Stadium. Once again, when I start talking about the game, man, I'm 24. I'm 24 again, man.
Not just the number on the back of your jersey that you wore, right?
That's exactly right, Mitch. Yes, my age. I'm 24. I got eye black on. I can almost taste the eye black because when it starts sweating sometimes, it'll drip into your mouth. I'm sorry, Bass. I don't need to get so personal on that, but it will.
I haven't even eaten this morning, Wolf.
Man, sometimes I'm sure you taste your beard from time to time.
Yeah, but I'm not intentionally telling people that, oh, I just had a piece of my beard with my cereal this morning. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, I'm just saying from time to time the truth. And you know I'm going to tell you the truth as I know it. The truth is you start sweating out there on the field, and guess what happens? A lot of times that sweat will mix with the eye black, and it runs down your cheek. And it's going to go somewhere sometimes, especially when another man has got his hand on your face at the bottom of a pile. Well, he's got a hand on your face and he's raking your face.
Wolf, you're just lucky that I haven't eaten this morning. I'll put it at that.
I know exactly.
Because now I'm not
thinking again,
about it.
It's those visceral moments that I love so much, and the fact that I'm looking at this empty gridiron right here at State Farm Stadium, the Doug and Wolf Show broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday, and yet I see this empty gridiron. There is absolutely nobody here. Let me tell you, you know who I hope is going to be here when we come back? Where did we go? I don't know where we went, but I guarantee you, hopefully Doug Franz will be joining us on the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning.
Your exclusive home for Arizona Cardinals football is 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold. Doug and Wolf Talk Cards Training Camp. Now.
And Doug and Wolf are live from Cards Training Camp, but we are dealing with some technical issues down there at State Farm Stadium. So in the meantime, in case you missed it yesterday, the fellas got a chance to talk with Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner in recent light of the Aaron Rodgers situation. But at the end, perhaps a little nugget about Larry Fitzgerald. Take a listen.
Right now on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line is Kurt Warner. Kurt, first of all, thanks. I realize this was short notice today, but Wolf and I are in a strange position, and we need you to be the jury. First of all, how's the family, and how are you?
We're doing well. We're busy. Life is crazy nuts right now, but overall, we are good, and lots of good stuff going on. And as we speak, I'm driving to Cowboy Camp right now to start covering some training camps.
Nice. Oh, that's good. Not only a Hall of Famer, but Kurt Warner from the NFL Network joining Doug and Wolf this morning. And another free plug for NFL. The Cowboys are, I believe, Hard Knocks this year, too. So maybe you'll even see Kurt on Hard Knocks or something. here's the reason why we wanted to have you on. Wolf and I are in a little bit of a disagreement. I think Aaron Rodgers sounds like a jerk.
People are coming here to play with me.
When you say people are coming here to play with me, but some of the things he said yesterday make a lot of sense. And Wolf is going crazy of, hey, no, you play.
Yeah, you know what? I said that it's true what he's saying, a lot of it. But at the same time, you play, man. That's what you do. Players play.
So you're the only QB1 in the room compared to Wolf and me. So with all that you are asked to do, both on and off the field as a quarterback, should quarterbacks be used when it comes to drafting players, talent evaluation, free agent conversations, bouncing ideas off of? What should the role of a quarterback be in the front office? Does Aaron Rodgers have a right to expect this?
Well, here's the funny thing, is I think both of you can be right, is that, you know, Wolf's saying players play, and there's no question about it, that is our job, that's our role, and players play. But what Aaron said, and, you know, I think you can look around the league and specifically at other great quarterbacks, like, tell me Tom Brady didn't have a hand in what they did in Tampa last year and the guys that they brought in last year. And I think Aaron Rodgers is saying, I want to be here my whole career. I'm a staple of this organization. I want to be a resource to you guys to understand what I like, what I think of different players. Now, I do think, you know, that there can be a slippery slope there, is that, you know, it's one thing to go, hey, okay, Aaron, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you think about this guy. And then what if Aaron tells you, oh, I really like this guy, or I really want this guy, and you can't sign him, or you have to cut that guy, or the coaching staff doesn't agree with you? That's a whole nother issue that you have to deal with, where now it's like, oh, well, I told them what I wanted, and they didn't give me what I wanted anyways. Yeah. So, you know, I just think there's lots of ways to go about this, but do I think there's anything wrong with a guy like an Aaron Rodgers being brought into a room and talked to, or for him to give his opinion on different things, and in an organization like the Packers to weigh that decision? Absolutely not.
But do they owe it to him?
There's things. No, I don't think you ever owe it to a player. No, I mean, you know, we would all like to have a better say, but we also, if you're going to do that, and I've said this in the past, is that you better make sure that you're educated on the big picture, and you're educated on what your team can do and what they're looking at and what their needs are, and be willing to sit into some of those other rooms. Whereas I know when I was playing, I didn't want to, and I didn't have time for all of that stuff. I let people that were much more in the know about the big picture take care of that. It would have been easy for me to go, oh, yeah, I want this receiver, or I think this receiver's great, or, you know, I like the way this guy plays. And, you know, and I'll tell you, I mean, there were unsolicited times where I would go up to people, you know, and general managers and say, hey, I really like this guy, or this guy's indispensable, or this guy, you know, I think can play for more for us or have a bigger role. Without question, you do those sort of things, but it was never in a vein where I would throw it out there and let them know how I feel, and then I would let them do their job, and back to Wolf's point, and then I would show up and I would play with whoever they put around me. My job was to go out and do that at the end of the day. But I don't think there's anything wrong with what Aaron wants or what he's saying. But yeah, I don't think he's owed that by an organization, no matter how good he is. And, you know, back to the initial soundbite that you played, he did go on to say, people want to come here to play with me and my teammates and this organization. It wasn't just, they're coming here just to play with me. But that's an honest statement, yeah. is that people go to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. You go to Tampa Bay, why did AB go there? Why did Gronk come out of retirement to play with Tom Brady? That is a part of the deal, is that, man, I want to go play with that guy because I know we're going to win and we're going to be a good football team.
Graybeard, I want to be clear on this. There is no way in the world that if I was a general manager, I wouldn't consult Aaron Rodgers on some of the big personnel moves. There's no way. I'd be interested just to get his opinion on that. But I'd never, ever let him believe he was the one that's going to make the decision on it. Does that make sense? I mean, why wouldn't you get the kind of feedback from a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
I think that makes 100% sense. And that's, you know, that's a whole other part of that dynamic is, you know, as a player, you've got to be willing to accept that if you want to play that role. I mean, you have to accept that I can give my opinion, but my opinion at the end of the day, there's lots of different factors.
Yes.
And, you know, and again, I think sometimes organizations say, well, we don't want to have all those conversations. Like, I'd love to get Aaron's opinion, but then if we decide to go a different direction, I don't want to have to necessarily go back and explain it once again to Aaron. I want to be able to just do my job and make decisions. And so, I think there's a lot of levels there. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you have to wade through and a lot of ways that different people could feel pressure in different ways to do their job differently. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you don't hear about it a lot. And you know, we've heard about it numerous times recently, like Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson, now Aaron Rodgers, all coming out and saying, man, I want to have more say. I want to have more say in what we do, or the coaches we bring in, or the players we bring in. And I get it, and I understand it.
Well, stay on that point, Kurt.
There's levels to that.
Keep going on that. If you just tuned in, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner joining us. Is it okay, the change in the, as Wolf calls it, the quarterback club, that with the pressures to be QB1, with all of the stuff you have to deal with as a franchise quarterback that nobody else does, is it the natural progression to have more guys speaking out, speaking up, and demanding things from their organization, or is it already getting out of hand?
Again, I think every situation is different. And as I was saying earlier, I think it's important if you want to have that say that you're willing to put in the time and the effort that goes into having that say. You know, it can't just be, what do I want? You know, what do I want? I want you to draft a receiver with every pick in the draft. You know, I want you to go get me all the weapons you possibly can. I want you to sign the best free agent weapons for me. You know, I think you have to have the big picture scope of everything from, you know, salary cap issues to, you know, where we're at as an entire team and how we're looking at this, not just this year to win a championship, but the next 3 or 4 years and what we're trying to build. So we don't have, you know, a time where, oh, we tried to put everything into a championship and now we have to go through this 4 or 5 year rebuilding process. So I think there's layers that you have to have knowledge of. You have to be willing to put in the time and the effort if you want to have that sort of a say. And, you know, I think you have to be willing to make that commitment if you want to be on the other side, and that's just kind of how I look at it.
Kurt, how do you think this whole thing is going to end with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? How do you see this ending?
You know, I think a lot of it will depend on his teammates. That, you know, I really felt through this whole process that he would be a Packer, and he would try to stay a Packer and be a lifelong Packer. And, you know, I think a lot of it would be, I want to, you know, be a staple of this organization. I want to be around my teammates and all of that stuff. But now you hear like guys like Devontae Adams going, hey, I want to get paid. And, you know, talk a little bit, oh, it'd be great to play with Derek Carr again. And so I think a lot of it is really going to depend on where he feels the organization is going to be. And if they're going to commit to some of those key players around him, because it seems like he's kind of opened that door to have more control of, does he finish his career as a Packer? It's not all in the Packers' hands now, as we've seen with other great quarterbacks, where Peyton Manning didn't end up as a Colt, and it wasn't really his decision. I feel like Aaron's kind of set himself up a little bit better now to be in control of, do I want to stay based on what they're doing around me, or do I want to go and let them have their next phase, and I can go somewhere else and maybe be competitive and successful late in my career?
So I don't know if you know this, but about every 2 to 3 weeks, Ron Wolfley makes a Larry Fitzgerald prediction that's wrong. What's yours?
Well, how many predictions are there? That he's coming or he's going? I mean,
it's always like, I'm going to make an announcement. He's going to make an announcement coming up Friday. Right. He's going to do this. He's going to do it. He's always, what's the latest from you? What's the latest Kurt Warner prediction on Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, you know what? I have no idea. I cannot believe that it's played out this long and we still don't know. You know, what I've kind of said along the way is that if it's played out this long, I kind of feel like he's going to come back. I mean, it just seems like an odd time to announce retirement now that training camps are starting and things are gearing up and football is coming back around. But I have no inside knowledge. I don't know what he's going to do, and I thought we would know by this point. But that's just kind of my gut, is that we've played this thing out and he hasn't made the decision to walk away, that I think he might come back and make another run at it.
You Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
I mean, you know what? You're in the quarterback club already. Now you're in the Hall of Fame.
It wouldn't
club.
Have mattered what you said. He was going to say that to you. It does.
Greybeard, thank you so much for your time, brother. Appreciate it as always. God bless you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your family.
Good trip to Oxnard, my friend.
You got it, guys. I'll be out at camp on Saturday. Not sure if you guys are going to
be there.
Oh, awesome,
man. We'll hunt you down.
If so, we'll catch up.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you, Kurt.
That was Kurt Warner with Doug and Wolf yesterday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. In case you're just tuning in, Doug and Wolf live from Cardinals training camp at State Farm Stadium. However, dealing with technical difficulties, so we are trying to get that resolved as quickly as possible. So coming up next, we've got the MLB trade deadline just hours away today. And the guys got a chance to talk with Derek Hall about the recent trade of Eduardo Escobar yesterday. You'll hear that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug Franz, four-time Pro Bowler and former Cards fullback Ron Wolfley. The Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Want to let you know that you can text Pepsi to 620-620 right now. Be your opportunity to win custom Cattell Marte cleats, a copy of MLB The Show 2021, and an exclusive sweet experience for you and your friends. Again, text Pepsi to 620-620. Well, let's stay on the baseball topic, because Derek Hall, he was with Doug and Wolf yesterday. In case you're just tuning in, Doug and Wolf dealing with technical difficulties out at State Farm Stadium as they get ready for Cards training camp. But Derek Hall yesterday, he was with the guys, and he got a chance to talk about the person that is Eduardo Escobar. Take a listen.
Every Thursday at 8:45, the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good morning, Mr. President. Congratulations on the win last night. How are you?
Doing well, guys. And I know on another beautiful part of the program, you guys were talking about Skyline, and there's nothing like Skyline, Chili.
Thank you.
Gold Star's good, but Skyline is the greatest. I mean, there's been times, Doug, where I've missed it, and I've even Amazoned the spice packet, and I've tried to make my own. You know, the key is you got to make that ground beef so thin, you know, con carne style to get that just right. There's nothing like Skyline, whether you're going little conies or chili spaghetti, it's the best.
2 points. A, always double the meat. Don't just take it out of the can. You got to double the meat.
Right.
Two, whenever you're 32 and 71, this is a brilliant way to suck up, because I feel great right now. I'm in such a good mood thinking of Skyline chili. We got a lot to talk about that's negative. Let's start with the human being that is Eduardo Escobar that's positive. What does it mean to lose him?
It means a lot. You know, he's such a good person. He's got a huge heart. He's one of my favorite players that I've ever had on our team. And, you know, he's a clubhouse favorite for a reason. He cares about his teammates. He cares about his community. Loves the fans. And, you know, the guy's going to be a free agent. There's I wouldn't rule out that we're going to, you know, have the possibility of acquiring him again. That would be something, you know, that we would look into in the offseason, because he liked playing here. He does like this team. He likes the city and the market and the state, and we like him. He's a versatile guy. He always had a great attitude, and he feels bad because we didn't win during his time here. And that's obviously why we traded for him, to improve our team. And I think he did a lot of good for us. He had a super year this year when, you know, there were a lot of challenges, and I'm happy for him to go to a contender right now for the final couple of months.
One of the things, I'm looking at this trade, and the only thing that got me about it is I realize he's not a 300 hitter, and he's having a really good season, but not great season. But I thought you could have got more maybe earlier in the year when the White Sox were kind of desperate. Did you hold on to him too long?
No. You know, I think if we could have gotten more, we would have. And obviously we're taking the deal that we think is best for us, and that our guys feel the best about. I mean, they're really excited about both these players. With you know, Cooper Hummel, he's a versatile guy who could play corner outfield, can catch. We really like him as an outfielder. He's a, you know, switch hitter who gets on base a lot. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's got tremendous power as well and pop. And then the young kid, you know, with Alberto Ciprian, sky's the limit with a player like that who got a nice signing bonus, was highly sought after in the international market. So we're excited about these two players. And if you flip it, you know, flip the script here, Doug, too. If you're the other team, you're thinking, did we give away too much for 2 months of control? You know, we gave away two prospects. But ordinarily, and your question is a great one, because ordinarily there's a lot of factors that come into play around the trade deadline. If you wait until right up until the trade deadline, you might have more leverage. You might have more teams that are in it and more desperate. I don't think that was the case with this market. You know, we knew who the teams were that were interested. Some teams have fallen out since because of their record and the way they've played. But also there were other players that these same teams were kicking around. So, you know, a few of those have already gone. And those players were being considered by all of the same teams that we were talking to for Eduardo as well.
You know, D, Eduardo just seems like such a positive guy, such an optimist all of the time. And there's nothing wrong with that. As you know, I'm an optimist. I believe you are the same guy. But for the most part, every great leader I've ever been around, they've always had an edge as well. There's always been that edge part of him where, you know what, I might drop and go right now if I have to. He doesn't strike me as that guy. Is that true?
Yeah, I've never seen that part of his personality. I've only seen a smile on his face at all times, or dejection when he feels like he let somebody down because of, say, a defensive play. But no, he's not the type that's going to go nuts and get in people's faces. You know, and you're right. You do have to have some of that, but that's not his role. And as you and I both know, Wolf, you can't force that either. And so part of the charm of Eduardo is that charm.
Yes.
You know, he's just a guy you love being around, and a guy that gets hugs from his teammates because he's just a warm-hearted individual.
You know, I listening to Torey Lovello after the game last night, it was kind of interesting the way he explained the bullpen situation, and he made it sound like it just had to do with last night's game. But I couldn't help but think that ninth inning was a little bit of a showcase. Is Clifford going to be here at 1 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, we need that depth. We need that experience at the back end of the bullpen. I think that just showed a lot of confidence that he had in Soria in a game that we felt like we had to win. And remember, going into spring training, that was going to be Torrey's approach. It was more so we're going to use guys in leverage positions, not necessarily with a role in the bullpen, but when we needed them most. And I think that's what we saw last night. He was determined to use Clifford at the end of the game, and he was going to use Soria in the eighth inning if we needed to have you know, keep the game close or where it is in a hold situation. So I thought it was a really good move. We got through it with Soria and Clifford, and I think he could have gone either way, but instinct told him, let's use Soria in that really important eighth, and let's have Clifford at the back end of the game, and it worked.
You know, Dee, do you anticipate more deals before the deadline? And if so, how many more deals?
Well, yeah, Wolf, I think when you look at Escobar, he was the one that obviously made the most sense. And it's unfortunate because he was having the best year. You know, of course, Marte was before his injury, but Escobar was so solid. But with his expiring contract, you know, he's got a couple months left. That one made the most sense. And anytime you have expiring contracts or you have veterans, those are guys you're going to look at. I don't think we need to do anything. We're still going to have lots of talks. There are still guys that could be moved. You know, we're still having several conversations, but I look at this as a big time opportunity. I mean, quite honestly, as much as I love our guys, I hope that we're able to make another move or two. When I look at the roster and the way it's shaping up, and when I look at the success of our young guys like Varsho and Rojas and you know, Pavin Smith, and then you look back and see the guys that over the last couple of years that Mike and Amiel and Fitz and those guys have been able to acquire, guys like Widener and Rojas and Van Meter and Fairchild and Gallen and Caleb Smith. Big-time players have all come through trade. So rather than us saying, oh, boy, we're selling, you know, you have to look at the acquisition of assets that we're starting to create and stockpile. And I'm really excited. As bad as we've played this year, I'm excited for the second half. I'm seeing glimpses of what we're going to see in the future, and that's what we need to do. We have to be honest, which we are right now. So if there are deals to be made that can help us acquire players like those that I just listed, we're going to do it.
What about eating salary? Is that on the table for some of the guys that might be moved?
Yeah, it is a good question. This is not so much about saving salary. In fact, to your point earlier, you know, should we have moved Escobar earlier? If it was about salary, boy, we would have been motivated to do it a long time ago, right, to save another million or so. That was not the case. You know, it's more so right now making sure that we can set ourselves up for the future. And if we can get a better player in exchange for eating more salary, of course we're willing to do that. We were committed to these salaries to begin with. It hasn't gone the way we thought it would. We needed to see if it would, and it hasn't. But with that, you know, we're committed to putting the best roster together for sustainability. I keep saying it, but it's true. And that's a great question. Absolutely we are. And I think in any case, it's how much better does the return get with more money that you're willing to spend? And if we're able to get more talent back, that's going to help us now and for the future, by all means, we're interested.
D, enjoy your skyline, man. We appreciate it.
I think it is time for me to make some. Double the meat, good advice, Doug.
Good
and,
stuff.
And if that makes you happy, each week, Doug, each week on Thursday, we're going to open up with Skyline.
Now that does make me feel better. Why don't you end it?
Get some Skyline Wolves, little conies.
Why don't you end it with what does Give Back to Education Week mean? I don't know enough about it.
I appreciate that. It's good. This is our second year now with University of Phoenix. They're a tremendous partner. And, you know, I think that the two of us have given, you know, over $1 million back in grants to teachers. We focus on teachers. We focus on students. It's actually going to be 2 days this year where it's over 1,000 students, and I think it's 150 teachers. But with our foundation, as you know, we've given nearly $75 million back to the community. Over $12 million of that alone is education, which is so important. It's an important part of our service. And University of Phoenix working with us to give back to education for this week. And it's, you know, it's a 7-day event, the 2 days that we focus on it during our homestand. You know, we're excited about it. We can't thank University of Phoenix enough and all the teachers and all the students out there that deserve these grants and deserve the dollars.
That's cool.
Gee, thank you, man. Appreciate your time, brother.
You guys, too. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week.
And all of our conversations that we have with anybody are always available for you at arizonasports.com. Wolf is at State Farm Stadium. I'm here live in the Auction Community Studios. And coming up next, the newest veterans are already starting to turn heads. And here's what's amazing about it. Wolf called a shot. It's coming up on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is AJ Green, and you're listening to 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
I expect AJ to have a big year. Glad he's on the team.
If AJ gets enough footballs this year, he may just be comeback player of the year.
He's been really impressive when you see him on the field with that type of size, with that type of movement skills.
AJ Green breaks the tackle, streaking toward the end zone. Yeah. Touchdown!
Yeah, man, I feel like I have a lot left in the tank.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
We're a little concerned about how this is going to play out the rest of training camp and into the 2021 regular season. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf with me live in the Auction Community Studios and Wolf live at State Farm Stadium. And that is this. Ron Wolfley called his shot a long time ago, meaning 2 days ago, that how good AJ Green looks. And following Wolf's lead, almost every press conference, somebody is commenting about the way AJ Green looks. So, Wolf, if AJ falls on his face, whose fault is it right now? Because
yeah, you know what?
Everyone's
honestly,
talking about
Green.
Him.
It'll be AJ Green. It'll be his fault if he falls on his face. But Doug Lease, I'm not kidding you, man. You know how jacked up I was when I came in on Thursday talking about what I saw on Wednesday. It truly was remarkable to see a guy who is 32 years old and AJ Green
jump off the field at how big he was, how fast he was, and just the way that he was performing out there. Man, I'll tell you, I'm really, really encouraged about AJ Green.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We've got a lot of Suns to talk about, of course, and when you say a lot, wait, they didn't draft anybody. Well, don't worry. The Shamet trade was pretty important, and some of the other players that were there. We're going to get into that in about 15 minutes or so. So more Suns talk coming up about last night's draft. But yesterday, Cards Camp 2021, that was one of the topics, Cliff Kingsbury.
As a play caller, yeah, you know that's part of the business, and you want to make sure you find ways to get everybody touches as much as you can. But, I mean, you've watched AJ out there. He's got a skill set of a one still, and that's why we're excited to have him.
Yeah, there you go right there about AJ Green. Honestly, you know what I love is AJ Green himself actually had a cut, and I'm sure you're going to play it at some point in time. But AJ Green, Doug Lee said, I know what I still got left in the tank, and I still love the game. I'm excited. You know what? Because of that, because of what I saw once again, I'm expecting AJ Green to continue to evolve, so to speak, in this offense. There's an old saying, Doug Lee, that says you're only as good as your weakest link. And that's so true when you have more than one wide receiver in the National Football League that can actually hurt you. The Arizona Cardinals, I think, again, Christian Kirk. I look at Christian Kirk. I do wonder what happened to him in the second half of last season. I do wonder where he went. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, what to say about that. I haven't been told anything on that, but I can tell you right now, the fact that David Rye, the wide receiver coach, was let go, I think that may have had something to do with the production or lack thereof of Christian Kirk in the second half of last season. But if you tell me you've got AJ Green, who looks totally rejuvenated, looks like a new individual out there on the field busting his butt, and then DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk is your third wide receiver, I'm telling you what, Douglas, I'll take that 11 personnel all day long.
I think your David Wright quote can be summed up with,
I'm not saying it's your fault, I'm saying I'm blaming you.
There you go.
I mean, that's,
that really is a possibility, Douglas, no doubt about it.
And because nobody's going after him. No one is saying you're a bad coach, but everybody just said, hey, we need a new voice, it seemed like. Or it's simply put of, hey, you're held responsible for the room, and the room didn't do nearly as much as it should have. The comments of AJ Green, there's so many different places we can go this morning that you as a Cardinals fan are going to want to hear. But I think most importantly, when so many of you wonder, what's he going to be able to accomplish, I think you have to start with where he came from.
For me, it was tough. I think last year was the most challenging year in my career. But I wouldn't change it for I wouldn't change what I went through last year for nothing, because I think it built my character even higher, even though I had great character. But I think it pushed me even more. Just to get through it mentally. And I think sometimes, you know, I came in this league, 7 Pro Bowls, 1,000-yard season, everything was, you know, pretty sweet. And the last, like, 2-3 years was like a roller coaster. And I think if you push it for greatness, you're going to have those ups and downs to where you can battle through adversity and come up top. And that's what makes the great ones great.
Man, that was really deep. You can jump on the FanDuel text line right now. As long as you include your name, text us at 620-620. And make sure you're listening at about 9:15 this morning, because there's a couple other AJ Green quotes that we want to get to, and we'll have a chance to read some of your texts. But to further the point that he just made, he was asked a follow-up. Simply, go specific. What made last year the toughest of your career?
I think it was a mix of everything. You know, I'm not a guy that point figures. You know, I'm going to point the finger at myself before I point the fingers at anything. It's a lot of things that I could have done different, you know, communication, you know, I was coming off a hamstring. I wasn't fully healthy, and I just pushed through it. And I'm a guy that, you know, all I know is hard work, and I just pushed through a lot of stuff last year that I should have just, you know, took my time back and sat out a little bit, take some breaks. But I'm a guy that, all I know is work, and that's all I did. And I think it hurt me a little bit last year.
The only way... What?
Can I play next to you, AJ Green? Can I play next to you? Can I line up next to you?
Well, the
Are
reason,
you kidding me?
The reason why I love that so much is the only way he can prove what he's saying is truly introspective and back up the words is to have a good season or at least put forth a massive amount of effort in order to have a good season. So it sounds like to me a guy that has that fuel, has plenty of fire, has plenty of gas, plenty of desire, but also knowing in order to prove that last year was a fluke and that there were a lot of other things going on is to have a good year this year.
All I think of is accountability when I hear that right there. I think of that guy walking around the Arizona Cardinals locker room saying those kinds of things. I cannot tell you, Basedonians, how big of an impact that truly will have on a locker room when you got a guy like A.J. Green, a guy that there's a lot of people that believe A.J. Green at some point in time may be a Hall of Famer. There's a lot of people believe that is going to happen at some point in time. A.J. Green is going to go to the Hall of Fame because of the incredible numbers he's posted. And not only that, because he was dominant at one point in time in the National Football League, one of the best wide receivers the game has ever seen, A.J. Green. And now all of a sudden you got a guy walking around saying, you know what, I don't point fingers at anyone else. I point the finger at myself first and foremost. That's incredible. When you hear him say, I wouldn't change what I went through last year for nothing. I think it pushed me even more to get through it mentally. This is a guy that is about accountability. And when you take a guy that has the field cred that A.J. Green has, and then he starts saying things like this, and then he starts doing things that he's doing in practice, this is winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It was there's a lot more of what A.J. Green said. So we want to get to it today. So make sure you can do a lot to be able to listen to it. However, there was a ton of – there's some great questions to the coaching staff about Zaven Collins that we need to get to. And, of course, as you can imagine, by the way, there was an NBA draft last night. So the general manager of the Suns, after you do a draft, what do you the next morning? You talk to Duggan Wolf. So James Jones is coming on this morning at 9:30. So make sure you kind of – set yourself up today as you're at work to try to be able to listen to that. You can always listen on the app on your phone as well if it's easier to do that while you're at work, or just load it up on your computer at arizonasports.com if you sit at a desk. We're also pretty jacked up because training camp is, and Wolf is out there, that Chase Edmonds is joining us at 7:15. So we got Cardinals guests today. We got Suns guests today. We got the baseball trade deadline at 1 o'clock. Gambo will come on at 9 o'clock to tell us about the trade deadline and any of the moves last night for the Suns. Up next, that trade. They made a trade and did not draft a single player last night. And I got an opinion that's going to set it up. It's really simple. This is either a terrible trade or a great trade, and we're going to know in 5 days. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.